of the Resurrection. There's a new world a-coming.
Every Sunday at this hour, WMCA, in cooperation with the Citywide Citizens Committee on Harlem, brings you a series of vivid programs dramatizing the inner meaning of Negro life, based on the prize-winning book New World A-Coming by Roy Otley, featuring Canada Lee, Hilda Sims, Georgia Burke, Will Gear, and as narrator, Sanford Bickert, produced and directed by Mitchell Grayson.
Today, we want to turn back the pages of history 100 years or more. Back to those infant days when the country was in swaddling clothes. Back to those days when the young nation was learning to speak up for her rights. If we can get a better understanding of those crucial times, events of today may seem clearer. This is particularly true in understanding the role of the Negro in American life. The Negro's early status has caused many misconceptions in the public mind. Richard Wright, author of Black Boy, has expressed it this way.
Each day, when you see us black folk upon the hard pavement of the city or upon the dusty land of the farms, you usually take us for granted and think you know us. But our history is far stranger than you suspect.
Perhaps the strangest aspect of the Negro's history is his fight for freedom during our country's early growth, while he himself was without the status of a free man. So here now is a phase of past Negro life that bears striking resemblance to events today. The Reverend Theodore Parker, a well-known fighter for human rights, was walking the streets of New York City one afternoon a few years before the Civil War. As he turned a corner near Chatham Square, the wind flapped his long black coat and swirled dust about his feet. He paused to watch workmen dig an excavation. After a while, he noticed an old man nearby who, while intently watching the digging, was murmuring to himself.
I know it's here. They must be here.
Reverend Parker heard this old man mumbling to himself. He walked over and said,
What did you say, sir?
The old man just kept repeating.
It's here. Here, I'm sure it was.
Sir, would you mind telling me what they're digging here?
Digging? Yes. Yes, this is to be the foundation for a great warehouse. It's here. I know it's here.
Reverend Parker was fascinated by the old man's repeated mumbling when suddenly from the deepest crevice in the excavation, a workman cried out,
Look! Human bone! Thousands of dried out human bone!
I knew it. There they are. The secrets of a generation.
Sir, do you know something about those bones?
I knew they'd be here, on this very spot.
But where do those bones come from? This is no graveyard.
It was a graveyard indeed, stranger. This is where it happened.
What happened?
Here where we are standing, thousands of men died for freedom.
The old man turned away and walked down the street. Reverend Parker followed, caught up with him, and took him by the arm. He introduced himself, told the old man he was visiting New York from Boston, that he had come to see the sights of New York. And would the old man agree to act as his guide? Yes, he would. Then the clergyman pressed the old man for the full story of what they had just seen.
They died for freedom.
When? When did they die?
Yes. I still remember. I was 20 then. It was back in 78. One of the worst battles of the American Revolution.
Were you in that battle?
Yes, Reverend Parker, I was.
Tell me more about it.
Well, it was on that very spot where we stood today that Major General Greene was in command of a newly raised regiment. We wore no uniforms. We were only armed with fowling pieces. As the battle raged all around us, the general spoke calmly to us.
Fellow soldiers, we are only 2,000 strong, but we must hold. The Redcoats, the Hessians, will never reach the redoubt if you will but hold your fire till I give the order. And be careful not to shoot over their heads. You have built entrenchments. Stay behind them. You have withstood 3 assaults magnificently. If we drive them back once more, they cannot rally again. Posterity will remember you for this night. For myself, I am resolved never to be taken alive. May God bless you all.
Oh, pardon, sir.
Yes?
I just wanted to say for us Negroes, we are with you, and we will be never taken alive.
When we Americans looked forth from our entrenchments, the ground was literally covered with wounded and dead. Nearly every officer of General Greene's staff had either been killed or wounded. Our powder was almost exhausted. We had only a few winks of sleep. The situation was desperate. An officer bearing a special message from General Putnam, who was then engaging the Hessians in the outlying sections of New York, rode up on horseback and entered General Greene's headquarters.
General Greene?
Yes?
Message from General Putnam, sir.
So, no reinforcements, Captain.
Sir, if you'll pardon me, may I ask, who are those persons out there? Those black men? Are they part of our army?
Yes, sir, they are.
Black men in the Constitutional Army?
Yes, black men. They are fellow soldiers, sir.
But will they fight?
Will they fight, sir, to the very last drop of their blood.
Now, here's something people don't quite understand, Reverend Parker. There were both free and slave Negroes during the Revolutionary War. And although many colored folks offered their services as soldiers to the cause, they were turned back.
Great tragedy, holding down blacks during our own war for freedom.
That's something I could never understand. We Negroes had something to fight for, the same as whites. It was our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, for we were Americans, the same as everyone else in this country. Yet, some white folks chose to disregard and break our country's laws even then. 50 years ago.
Outright mockery. It is nothing less.
Can you see that sign on the street lamppost above?
Yes.
Can you read it?
Wall Street.
Then we're at another famous site.
Which one is this?
The slave catcher's market.
Slave catcher?
Yes. Where slaves were kidnapped and sold to the highest bidder. In the midst of our great war for independence, the buying and selling of human beings was still being carried on.
Are you the slave catcher, sir?
Yes, sir Johnson. The best. Here's my license to catch him.
About 2 weeks ago, my Negro named Joe ran away.
Mm-hmm. And what did he look like, sir?
He was dark. About 5 feet 7 inches high. Very active fella. Bought him at public auction from Captain Thomas Seymour.
Mm-hmm. And just how much is he worth to you?
Whoever secures him, I'll pay £3 reward.
£3? Mighty small sum for that kind of a fellow. Well, I've got a half a dozen in the lockup. Let's have a look.
Right, I'd like to have a look.
Listen to them singing. Always, always sing. You see him, sir?
Let me look. Yes, there he is.
That one, sir? He's been plenty troublesome. Talks about joining General Greene's regiment. Something about winning the revolution and being free.
It's no wonder the Redcoats took advantage of the situation. Divide and conquer. That was their motto. Sir Henry Clinton, commander of the Royal Forces outside New York, was a smart dog. When Negroes raised the slogans of freedom, the Provincial Congress ordered a detachment to guard against what they called the insurrection of blacks.
General Clinton?
Yes, Major.
We have just received information that there's a great unrest among the Negroes. Huh? The Americans won't let them join the revolution.
We should use that to our own advantage, don't you think, Major?
Well, now, perhaps we can win them to our side. We don't have to make any promises to them as to what will happen after the war. We can put this unrest to good use.
How, sir?
Issue a proclamation. Without their blacks, the Americans will have fuel to till the soil and feed their armies. And fewer men to put in the field against us.
Bully idea. A proclamation it is, then. Here, I'll write it immediately. I, Sir Henry Clinton, in the name of His Majesty's government, do most strictly forbid any person to sell or claim right over any Negro, the property of an American who may take refuge with any part of the army. And I do promise to every Negro who shall desert the American standard full security to follow these lines any occupation he shall think proper.
That was the proclamation he issued, Reverend Parker. And it had immediate effect on the Negroes. After all, they wanted to be free with the same depth of passion as whites who had brought on the revolution. Numbers of them ran away from their American masters. It wasn't long before the American leaders saw their error. Soon, an act was passed to enable Negroes to enlist in the colonial army.
Name?
Tom Fletcher, sir.
Where do you live?
Sir, near Spring Garden, about 4 miles and a half from town.
Tom, have you permission from your master to join us?
Oh, yes, indeed, sir. Yes, indeed. Oh, here's a note where he says so.
Oh, let me see it. Oh, you're Captain Fletcher's man.
Oh, not after the war, sir. They say if I serve 3 years, I'm free. Is that so, sir?
That's the law, Tom.
Well, that's what I want. And that's what I'm willing to fight for.
Yes, Negroes by the thousands joined the ranks of the American Army in the Revolutionary War. And they fought gallantly and bravely for our country's independence. Now, let's walk down a piece to Broad Street. I want to show you a famous landmark which explains still more of the colored man's doings in the American War of Independence.
Where are we going?
I'm going to take you to a place called the Francis Tavern.
So, this is a famous Francis Tavern.
The oldest landmark in New York City.
Something you drink, gentlemen?
Tea, please. You started to say something about free Negroes during the revolution, sir.
Oh, I did indeed. Well, here, within these rough walls, a West Indian named Francis, they called him Black Sam for short, conducted the tavern. In those days, people called it Queen's Head Tavern.
Your tea, gentlemen.
Thank you. You were saying?
Yes, sir. Well, Sam Francis was a famous caterer. His inn became the city's social, cultural, and revolutionary center. The Stamp Act was discussed here, and here also in 1774, the Sons of Liberty planned and successfully carried out a tea party, an affair similar to the Boston incident. When the Revolutionary War started, Samuel Francis left the tavern to the care of his wife and enlisted as a private in the army.
Was he a patriot, too?
Yes, he was that. For when Washington made his first farewell address to his officers on December 4th, 1785, he chose Francis Tavern for the occasion.
I never knew that.
Yes. And what if I told you that Phoebe Francis, the pretty daughter of Francis, saved George Washington from being assassinated?
Saved Washington's life?
Yes, I heard the story. She was in charge of the Mortier House of Richmond Hill at the outbreak of the Revolution. See, the mansion had been converted into a temporary headquarters for Washington and his staff.
Phoebe, that Thomas Hickey will get you into trouble before it's all over.
But, Mama, he's so nice. He's become General Washington's bodyguard. He left the redcoats for our side, didn't he?
Yeah. But I know you're heading straight for trouble, honey. It ain't right. It ain't right. Something tell me he's no good. Now, hurry, set in that table.
You know, Mama, they say everyone will be free after the war. Our people will be free, too. Gosh, won't that be a glorious day?
It sure will, honey. Mm-hmm. But don't think you'll be free from work. Now, don't forget to take that hickey of supper upstairs.
Well, he said he didn't want to eat now. He wants to talk to those men.
Strange, I called it.
Well, maybe I should disturb him. He hasn't eaten all day. I'll take him something to eat on this tray. Tommy? He doesn't hear me. I better open the door a little and see.
Well, that's what I say. I want to tell you, you're the best man to do it, Hickey.
You're the closest one to him. You've got his confidence.
After all, this is your job.
Well, here's the plan. While you carry out your part, the city will be set afire. We have men who will spike the cannons. Meanwhile, we will land troops in the city from warships which sneak in at night. Forces upstate will come down and attack the city.
It'll be like a bolt from the sky.
I see. Then victory for us. Once Washington is out of the way.
No. No. They're planning to kill George Washington. General Washington. No. No. Mama. Mama. They're going to kill General Washington.
Oh, what's the matter with you, child?
But they
you
are,
Mama. Dropped that train.
They are, and Tommy.
What you saying?
But I heard them. Them and Tommy, too. When I went upstairs with his supper, they planned to murder him, Mama, so the Tories will win.
I knowed it. Trouble was a-coming. But how?
Mama, I don't know. I don't know. I'd better tell General Washington. How could Tommy do this?
You tell General Washington nothing, honey. Worry that poor man to death? Ain't he got enough to worry about?
But I must, even if Tommy...
Suppose you heard wrong. Then you'd be in a peck of trouble. Wait, child. Wait. Shh. Here he come now.
Good night, everybody. Hello, folks. Maybe I'm hungry as a bear. What about something to eat?
Yes, sir.
Oh, here's a little something I'd like you to serve the general.
What's this, sir?
Oh, some fruit. The general likes a bite after supper. No, never mind. I'll give it to him myself after supper. Phoebe.
Yes, General Washington. Did you call me, sir?
I did, Phoebe. We've had a perfect evening here tonight. Your mother served us the best food. We've had a long time. And now is the fitting climax to a wonderful dinner. You would do us a great honor if you'd sing that song Hopkinson wrote. You know, the Liberty song.
I'd be more than delighted to sing it, General Washington.
Thanks.
Come join hand in hand with American gold and arouse your own heart at a liberty call. Nor fear an attack shall suppress your dark claim. Oh, sing with the drum of American name. In freedom we born and in freedom we live.
That is fine, Phoebe, fine. A beautiful song, beautifully sung.
Thank you, General Washington.
And now, General, if you'd care to have one of these good-tasting pears, they're just ripe enough. I know you like to have some fruit at the end of dinner.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Hickey.
No! General Washington, don't eat that pear. Don't eat it, sir.
Phoebe, what's come over you?
That pear is poison, General Washington. They plan to kill you. I heard them talking about it today.
Who, Phoebe? Who did you overhear?
That man, Thomas Hickey.
Hickey? She's lying, sir. She's not telling the truth. It's a lot of nonsense.
Well, it's easy enough to find out, Hickey. We can take this pear to the chemist down the street and have him tell us if it's poisoned or not.
Give me that pear!
Captain of the guard, arrest Thomas Hickey.
Yes. Yes.
Place him under chains and wait my further orders.
Yes, that's how General George Washington's life was saved in the Francis Tavern by Phoebe Francis. For when the corner chemist analyzed the contents of the pear, he found it filled with poisonous drugs enough to kill General Washington almost instantaneously. Phoebe Francis did a great service for her country by saving Washington's life at a time when our country needed him most.
What a close call.
Well, Reverend, it's getting dark now. I must be going.
Ah, but sir, you've never finished telling me what happened to General Greene, the Negro troop.
You know, that nearly went clear out of my head. Well, about 3 o'clock in the morning, the Redcoats and the Hessians were closing in from two sides in a most terrific battle.
General, the attack has begun! Man the entrenchment!
We can't hold, General, with his water.
Look at those black men. Would you let them shame you?
Come to yourself, General!
General Greene fell, shouting orders to the last. I can tell you, Reverend Parker, that those Negro soldiers faced the enemy batteries with the nerve of old veterans. They endured great suffering. They rallied from six charges before they were overcome. Nearly 2,000 were massacred in that battle. The dead lay as thick as sheep in a fold. What you saw today, being carted off, so much rubbish were. They were the bones of those forgotten victims who fell in the American Revolution, fighting for freedom.
You've been listening to New World Coming, the sixth in a series of programs devoted to the Negro's contribution to American life. In today's broadcast were Canada Lee, Hilda Sims, Georgia Burke, Don Gibson, John Adair, Fred Carter, Charles Perry, Will Gear, and as narrator, Sanford Bickett. We invite you to be with us again next Sunday at 3:03, when New World Coming will have as its guest star Canada Lee in Langston Hughes' story of Negroes and Humor. New World Coming is written by Roy Otley. The program is produced and directed by Mitchell Grayson. Music was arranged and conducted by Jerry Sears. The theme song, composed by Duke Ellington. This was a public service feature of WMCA. Ladies and gentlemen, at the battlefront, men face death daily to save the lives of their buddies. At home, you can help to end a number one war material shortage by saving all of your waste paper. Here's what to do. Save every scrap of paper. Wastebasket scraps, corrugated boxes, brown paper and bags, magazines and books and newspapers. Bundle cardboard, magazines and newspapers separately. All other papers together. Then turn them in regularly. Today, paper makes or wraps 700,000 articles used by our armed forces. This includes ammunition, food, and machines. Why not appoint some one person in your home to be your official paper salvage chief? This will make it easier to save, bundle, and turn in all of your waste paper. This is America's leading independent station.